Now that we have seen what synchronic synthesis is and shown that the New Testament legitimizes this approach, we're ready to turn to an essential step toward creating synchronic syntheses, the process of discerning historical information in the Old Testament. As we saw in the previous lesson, biblical theologians are particularly concerned with two types of historical events: divine act revelations, that is, things that God did, and divine word revelations, the things that God and His messengers said. Before biblical theologians can synthesize the theology of a period in the Old Testament, they must first gather information about the historical events, the acts and words of God that occurred at the time they have in view. These historical facts become the basic building blocks of their synchronic synthesis. Now, at first glance, this might seem like a rather easy thing to do. We might think that we only need to repeat what the Bible says happened at particular times. But as we will see, gathering historical information from the Bible requires great care. The Old Testament does not come to us as a catalog of historical information. Rather, it contains narratives, poetry, law, wisdom writings, genealogies, different types of psalms, prophetic speeches, and many other genres. All of these genres reveal information about God's acts and words, but this historical information is wrapped in each genre's literary features. And for this reason, biblical theologians have to find ways to gather historical information from each type of literature. Time will only allow us to explore this process with two major types of literature, poetry and narratives. But what we learn about these genres will alert us to the kinds of concerns that apply to other genres as well. Let's begin with the ways poetry communicates historical information. When we speak of Old Testament poetry, we have in mind passages like the Psalms, some wisdom literature, much of Old Testament prophecy, and smaller portions of other books as well. To discern facts about God's actions and words from these scriptures, we have to account for how the literary features of poetry reveal historical information. To look into these matters, we'll touch on two issues. First, we'll look at the two worlds that Old Testament poetry always considered. And second, we'll see how concern for these two worlds affects the process of discerning historical information in poetry. Let's look first at the two worlds of Old Testament poetry. Poets of the Old Testament were interested in two different worlds that tell us about history. On the one hand, they gave attention to the world they wrote about, what we will call that world. When writing about that world, they provided objective facts about God's acts and words. In the first place, poetry often opened windows to the past. For example, one well-known poetical passage is the song that Moses and Miriam sang at the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. Moses included this poetry in the book of Exodus, in part, to give his readers historical information about what God had done at the Red Sea. In the second place, Old Testament poetry often provided windows to contemporary historical information from the writer's own time. For example, Psalm 1 recommends meditation on the law of God. To express the importance of God's law, the psalmist drew attention to patterns of God's ongoing blessings for faithful servants and His judgments against sinners. In this sense, Psalm 1 gave its readers insight into current events of that time. In the third place, at times Old Testament poets turned their readers' attention toward the future. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, Isaiah predicted a time when the exiles of Judah would return to their land. In one way or another, Old Testament poetry often conveyed information about the revelatory acts and words of God in the past, present, and future. Old Testament poets also focused on the world of their readers, which we will call their world. They focused on their world by designing their text to influence the lives of their original readers in particular ways. For example, the Song of Moses and Miriam in Exodus chapter 15 encouraged Moses' early readers to move forward with confidence toward the Promised Land. Psalm 1 was written to inspire constant meditation on God's law. And the predictions of Isaiah chapter 40 were designed to encourage those facing exile to maintain hope for a glorious return to the Promised Land. Old Testament poets drew their original readers' attention to that world of God's act and word revelations in order to speak to their world, the times in which their early readers lived. Now we should explore how the two worlds of Old Testament poetry affect the ways we can discern historical information from these portions of the Bible. We can be confident that what Old Testament poets told their readers about the past, present, and future was true. They were inspired by God, who only speaks truth. But they often described history in ways that were something other than straightforward. And for this reason, to know what poets actually intended to communicate about objective historical facts, we have to understand the literary conventions of Old Testament poetry. There are many ways to describe the literary conventions of Old Testament poetry, but for our purposes, we will note just four prominent features. First, poetical passages employ unusual vocabulary and syntax designed to make readers ponder what is written. Second, Old Testament poets used many figures of speech, such as metaphors, similes, analogies, and hyperboles, to describe historical realities indirectly. Third, poets express their own imaginative reflections to incite compelling imaginative sensory experiences in their readers. Fourth, they convey their own emotions to stir emotional reactions in their readers. These characteristics appear to some extent in other biblical genres as well, but they were concentrated, central features in Old Testament poetry. To see how these characteristics affected the communication of historical information, we'll look at a portion of one poetical passage we've already mentioned, the Song of Moses and Miriam at the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15. Listen to what Moses wrote in Exodus chapter 15, verses 6 and 7. "Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble." As we have seen, in this passage, Moses referred to the historical event of Israel's crossing of the Red Sea. Yet these verses do not give a wooden description of what God did. For example, God's right hand was not actually visible at the Red Sea, even though Moses said that God's right hand shattered the enemy. And the Egyptians were not burned by fire, even though God's burning anger consumed them like stubble. Instead, the narrative account in Exodus tells us that God sent a mighty east wind that separated the waters of the sea, allowing the Israelites to pass on dry land. Then God drowned the pursuing Egyptian army by causing the waters to return as the Egyptians crossed. So why did Moses speak of God's right hand and of his burning anger consuming the Egyptians like stubble? Moses relied on the common Old Testament metaphor of God's right hand to characterize this event as God's mighty attack against his enemies. He employed an exaggerated simile likening the Egyptians' condition to burned stubble, not to reveal the means of their destruction, but to reveal how thoroughly and horribly they were destroyed. Moses also wanted to incite imaginative experiences of the event in the minds and hearts of his readers. He expressed his own enthusiastic praise for God, and he inspired others to do the same. Moses intended his poetry to be taken as a true record of the event, but he never meant it to be read as a literal wooden description. When we acknowledge the poetical features of Exodus chapter 15, verses 6 and 7, we can discern its historical information with relative ease. We might summarize these verses in a variety of ways, depending on the aspect of the text that is our focus. For example, if we were to focus on the way it uses figures of speech to relate historical data, we might summarize it in this way. God set Israel free by miraculously destroying the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. This example makes it clear that we must approach Old Testament poetry with care. We must not read it the same way we read prose. Instead, we must distill historical information by recognizing poetry's unusual vocabulary and syntax, its figures of speech, its imaginative concerns, and its emotional impacts. Only then can we derive more realistic understandings of God's acts and words that contribute to our synchronic syntheses of Old Testament theology.